Waiter!
Bill, please.
Right, sir. Now, what did you have?
Brown with the soup.
Yes.
Steamed cod, parsley sauce, and diced vegetables.
Yes. Sweet.
Prunes and custard.
Tea or coffee?
I've no idea what it
is. Right. There we are, sir.
Thank you. And I just...
What? What's this?
The bill, sir.
But, oh, there must be some mistake.
Let me have a look. No, that's quite correct, sir.
But £2.17 is outrageous.
That is an excerpt from The Great Train Robbery. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those of you tuned in at home, how can you possibly hear us on the light? That, I'm afraid, will give you some idea of what to expect from a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Lady Ophelia Pulse, the midget comedians with their feet of tiny patter, Miss Gertrude Greenwich.
She give you a mean time.
To continue, Sir Sammy Gielgud Jr., Jelly Roll Klemperer, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. Let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. Monday, I was invited to a party in Richmond Park by a couple of old dears I know. Turned out to be a stag party, actually. Rather unusual, because all the stags hung up their antlers on men's hats. Thursday, I was in a restaurant where I saw a man get into an argument with a sailor. And unfortunately, a fight developed, and the salt threw the man over his shoulder. On Friday, something most unusual happened. The Radio Times wanted a new photo of me. So in the morning, I went round to see that well-known photographer, Arthur Figley.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Orne. Now, what sort of photo do we have in mind? Serious? Intelligent? Sophisticated? Or just as you are?
No, stop messing about.
Yeah. I've heard that before somewhere. Look here, Mr. Orne. Perhaps if you've got a favourite photograph of yourself at home, I could reproduce exactly the same pose.
Well, that's a good idea, Figley, but do you think I'd look my best lying on my tum on a leopard skin rug?
Oh, I see what you mean. Completely in the...
Yes, completely.
Oh, my word, that would never do, would it? Oh, no. I mean, with your head, we wouldn't know what way round it was. Pity, though. You'd make a lovely calendar.
Well, I think I'll go somewhere else. You're really a very rude photographer.
Oh, that's pretty, is it? Here. Well, we'll have a look at these. Here. Look at this. Here. My latest batch here, taken at a wild show business party.
Good
heavens.
I've never seen that particular artist in such a low-cut dress.
No, it's a rare one of Billy Cotton, that is. Well, then, the apparatus is all set up. Over here, please. It's all over here. Now, that's it. Now, absolutely still.
Yeah, but Figley.
Mr. Horn, please. I said absolutely still.
Yes, but Figley.
Billy! Impossible, sir. You are. Can't you keep quiet while I take this photo?
Yes, Figley, but there's one question I want to ask.
Oh, very well. What is it?
Should we both be under this black cloth?
Oh, how silly of me. Oh, Dad would be cross. Oh, you know, I took over this business from my father, you know.
Oh, Arthur Figley, Sr.?
Of course he has. I'm his son. Now, hold still, right? What's the birdie?
Yes, I am. And good heavens, it's Jill Day.
Be careful. It's my heart. It's not my watch you're holding. It's my heart.
Well, Figley, you finished with me now?
Yes, Mr. Rowe. That seems to be all.
Not quite, Figley. There's still one thing that worries me.
What's that, Mr. Rowe?
How do we get from a photographic studio into a detective sketch?
I'm surprised at you, Mr. Rowe. You've been on the show long enough to know how it's done. And Mr. Fanfare, could I have a penny lay, please?
Stand by for an exciting crime story featuring the famous Inspector Maigret. Our version is translated from the original French.
And let us be the first to admit it loses an awful lot in translation.
Here is a story that will gripe you from start to finish. We present As Crime Goes By, or Gendarme Thing After Another.
Luther? Inspector Maigret, you were late this morning.
Yes, Luther, that wretched wall was damp and I couldn't light my pipe. Well, anything nouveau?
No, patron, except that last night I did as you say and followed Monsieur Lepoint.
Yes.
He was down at the station kissing goodbye to that little midinette. You know, the one they call Chouchou.
Did you find out why?
Oui, because the midinette Chouchou leaves for Aix-les-Bains. Did you want me to do anything else?
Well, short of throwing yourself into the Seine, no. Maigret.
Inspector, please, you must come to my flat immediately.
But I hardly know you.
Don't be ridiculous, Inspector. This is urgent.
Very well. Who is this?
I am Madame Picot, with a small second flex over the eye.
Why not try bathing it in Beretic?
Oh, Inspector Maigret, you do not understand my desperation. Inspector, there is a strange man in my wardrobe.
Well, madam, after all, this is France.
But, Inspector, he is dead.
Where are you speaking from, madame?
I told you, my flat.
That's strange. Have you got an orchestra there?
Pardon?
Never mind. What's your address?
23 Rhubarb.
All right, madame, we'll be over as soon as we can. All right, Luther, you heard that dialogue. It's murder.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Well, patron, we'd better get over there a bit vitish. Should we take the car?
No, look, it's a lovely day. Let's walk. Besides, this provides an opportunity to show some of those exterior shots of Paris. Now, come on.
And then I opened the wardrobe door, and there, on one of my hangers, was this man.
What did you do then, Madame Picon?
Naturally, I said to him, what are you hanging around here for?
But the man in the wardrobe was dead.
Not dead, no.
You mean he said something before?
Yes.
Now, think carefully, madam. I want the exact word. What did he say?
He said, what a ghastly smell of mothballs in here.
Tell me, madame.
Patron.
Oh, there you are, Luca. What have you been doing?
I was taking some finger prints off the maid.
Why?
They were mine.
Where is the constable?
He, Inspector.
Oh, you're new, aren't you?
Oh, oui, monsieur, Constable Bardot. No relation, unfortunately.
Did you check his belongings?
Oui, Inspector.
You discovered his identity?
Oui, monsieur.
Constable, I wish you wouldn't keep on saying oui. You sound like the fifth little piggy. Now, who is the murdered man?
He's a London art dealer. His name is Cade.
Cade, and his other name?
Burlington R.
Good, Lupin, you have the right idea.
Have I? I didn't even know what they were talking about. Madame Picon, what is it?
The curtains, they're moving.
Oh, just a slight breeze, I suppose.
No, Patron. The curtains are definitely moving. A minute ago, they were hanging up at the window. Now they are creeping along the opposite wall.
Inspector, there's something behind them.
All right, pull them apart, quickly.
Hello. I was under the curtains. There's no air there.
Who is this man?
He is from the flat upstairs. Some struggling young painter.
Are you French, monsieur?
Well, I'm certainly, but I can't be bothered with all this je suis stuff. So I'm playing in English.
Yeah, just a minute. Where do you think you're going?
I've got to go out and see un homme about un chien.
Wait a minute.
You say you know this man, madame?
Yes, I posed for him once and I shall never forget it.
Nice line.
Every day for 4 weeks I go to his studio and I lay across the chaise longue in a flimsy negligee. And what do you think he is painting?
What?
The Eiffel Tower.
All right, monsieur. I want to know what you were doing in Madame Picon's flat.
No, stop messing about.
Now, come on. Truth.
All right, Inspector Migraine.
Maigre.
Oh, right. I confess. For a long time, I've had my eye on an objet d'art. And last night, I've come down here to pinch her on you, Lou.
And were you successful, monsieur?
No. This gentleman called, and I had to hide.
Ah, so you had a caller, Madame Picon.
Well, you may as well know the truth, Inspector.
I think I know it already. The caller was Monsieur Kay, the dead man. And you killed him, madame.
What a masterly detective you are, Maigret.
D'abord, Dick.
No, Inspector, you win. I could not help myself. I was in love with him, but he was only interested in his stupid ass. It reaches me like one of his canvases. Don't you understand, Inspector? I am a woman. I am no oil painting.
I'm with you there, yes. All right, Constable.
Come along, madame. I'm afraid we must pinch you.
You are going to arrest me?
Oui, but I'll pinch you first.
Oh. All right, Constable. Now watch it. Leave the funny lines to make, eh? Take it away.
Oh, je ne m'attends pas à me lever mon motif. Je ne m'attends pas à me lever. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand.
Well, another case is solved.
Yes.
You know what the French say about a woman scorned?
No, it's a sort of thing.
Yes, Patron, another adventure we have shared together. A lot of thrills, a lot of laughs.
I didn't know this many laughs.
Monsieur, you should take a good look at the inspector's suit. Generally, it is a constant source of amusement.
His suit? Yes. Oh, yes. It's very funny, isn't it?
It is such a very rough tweed, which, of course, proves one thing.
What's that?
Well, it's always the coarse material that gets the laugh. there's some special material that's always appreciated, and it's made up by the Fraser Hayes Ball.
In Dublin, fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. She wheeled her wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
She was a fishmonger, but sure 'twas no wonder, for so were her father and mother before. They each wheeled their barrels through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
And third of the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present first up on the country.
And first of all, let's talk to this gentleman who has recently moved to the country. And the name, sir?
Stanley Birkin, sir. some months ago I moved to the Cotswolds. It's a somewhat sizable estate with several acres of first-class pasture land and some of the finest fields to be seen for miles. There's a 18th century farmhouse, complete with stables, barns, cowsheds, etc., etc. But I myself reside in a small, well-furnished cottage in the vast grounds, amidst some of the most exciting and enchanting scenery. It nestles at the foot of the downs.
Oh, I see. It's in a valley, then.
Well, it used to be a valley until I took up residence.
What is it now, then?
A reservoir.
Well, it takes all sorts to make up the country set. And now, we're privileged to meet a remarkable old gentleman. And here he comes, complete with shooting stick and deerstalker. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, sir.
Not at all. What a nice hacking jacket that is.
Hacking jacket, he blowed. I caught it on the nail.
Look, now, I understand you're something of a bird watcher.
That's right, sir, yes. Most days you'll find me sitting in hide on the edge of the marshes, observing our little feathered friends. There's a great deal of patience required in bird watching, you know.
Yes, I'm sure there is. Now, tell me, how long do you have to sit there?
35 years.
How long?
I'm sorry. I thought you asked me something else.
No. I believe, sir, that you've made an extensive study of the bird call.
Thank you. Yes.
Now, would you like to give us a few examples?
I'd be delighted, yes. First of all, there's a very unusual mating call of the wahoo bird. So called because it goes wahoo.
Well, that's the most unusual.
Oh, yes, it is. It only mates once every 10 years, and when it does, wahoo! And then And there's the pretty, pretty cry of the nat-latched peewit.
Which bird was that, sir?
The nat-latched peewit. You often hear it floating across the night scented air. Cop! 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 And then there's... And then there's this one. And that's the leather-spotted nuthatch. And then... Oh!
Whatever's that?
I've just sat on the wrong end of my shooting stick.
It's true that the social and sporting life of the countryside is far more varied and exciting than that of the townsman. Apart from such pursuits as riding to hounds, shooting, and point-to-point meetings, there are two of the important annual racing events.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. How do I look?
Immaculate as ever, Rodney, and I must say, I adore your racing colours this year.
No, you really?
Yes, I do. Lemon and cerise hoops are terribly loose.
I know. Well, I chose them very carefully. What do you think of my cap encrusted with rhinestones?
Darling. Yes, when the sun catches it. You look like a chandelier.
More important, Charles, I really think I've got a chance this year. I've trained hard, you know.
Oh, I'm sure you'll win, Roderick. In fact, I've had a little bet on you.
No good for you. Well, I'd better get down to the starting post.
All right, Roderick. Very best of luck.
Thank
I'll
you.
Be shouting you home.
But, Charles, yes? Any last-minute instructions?
Well, only one thing, Rod.
What that?
Whatever you do, don't for goodness sake drop your pen.
Oh,
finally, we turn to our panel of experts in Hornorama who are ready to discuss a random question on this week's topic. Top of the table this week, a very distinguished guest, the celebrated actor, Sir Richard Ralston.
Good evening. Very great pleasure to be here.
Yes. Next, our resident boozer, Seamus O'Toole.
And the top of the milk to one and all.
And next, our prima donna of the pantry, Fanny Haddock.
Again, hello. Yes, indeed. And tonight I hope to be telling you what to do with your haricot beans.
Finally, Arable Arthur himself, Fallowfield.
Well, this morning I was doing a bit of dibbling in the South Meadow, and I came across my farm girl tilling the soil. So I said to one of the tiller girls...
Yes, thank you, Arthur. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Well, that's our team of experts, and so to this week's question on the country, which comes from...
Peter Pug, what can be done to stop the fast-disappearing green belt?
What can be done to stop the fast-disappearing green belt? That's a good question, sir. A tool.
Well, don't look at me. I never took it. Anyway, I never wear a green belt.
Look, a tool. The green belt is a fringe of countryside outside London.
Oh, well, that's different. But I still didn't take it. And anyone that says I did will get a green belt right round the lug hole.
Take no notice. He doesn't know what the Ralph Whiteman he's talking about. The trouble with O'Toole is he's not bucolic.
Oh, I am, and proud of it. I can drink as much as the next man, and more.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Now, let's ask Richard... Sir Richard Ralston, will you come in on this, sir?
Well, I can't help feeling we're inclined to be a little over-sentimental about our countryside. It was only saying to my very good friend, Hilda Baxter, the other day, surely homes for the people are more important than a bit of greenery.
What a disgraceful thing to say.
Frightfully sorry, old chap, but it's the truth.
How can you or anyone condemn the lovely countryside?
Oh, I suppose I'm just an old townie.
Well, you ought to be rusticated, that's all I...
Look here. Sir Richard is entitled to his opinion.
Why don't you shove one of your concoctions down your cake hole?
Well, it's Hallowfield. One of these days I'm going to make mincemeat of you.
All right, sir. Now, Fanny Haddock, what's your view on this?
Well, of course, you see, as a lover of food, I must come out in favor of the country. I think it's a great shame that so much is being swallowed up in development. I say it ought to be preserved.
What, in jam jars?
And you should be poured back into the bottle.
A
very amusing. Yes. I must remember to say that to Sir John in the middle of Act Two.
All right, now, Fallowfield, come along now. I know this question's right up your A.G. street.
Well, I think it goes without saying that the answer lies in the soil. I'm proud of my stock. We sprang from the soil. My father was a man of the soil. My grandfather was a man of the soil. And my great-grandfather was a man of the soil. We were the dirtiest family in the country.
I suppose we're going to have a long eulogy on the beauties of the countryside.
Well, you know, a lot of people like yourself make derisive remarks about the countryside, especially at this time of the year. But the countryside in winter has many charms. There's nothing I like better on a cold winter morning than throwing open my bedroom window wide and listening to the birds coughing.
Well, thank you, Arthur. Well, we seem to be divided over this, so perhaps I might sum up with a short verse by Griselda Keith, the immortal bird, who said this: where is the greensward? Where are the flowers? Where are the trees and the fields that are ours? If they must steal the things we possess, let them take some of the things we like less. But on our knees, we will pray that they spare Gladys of 34 Dagenham Square. Well, there you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be bank cashiers. Do they suffer from counterfeit? Also in next week's program, we shall be going over for a report on the mineral water manufacturer's annual squash tournament. And there'll be an excerpt from the new pantomime starring Betty Marsden and Kenneth Williams, Beauty and the Beast.
You're wrong. I'm the other one.
You're the other one. All right. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now, leaving you with this thought from a listener in Dartford, Kent, who asks, why do bees hum? Is it because they don't know the word? Good night. You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show, in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Jill Day, the Fraser Hayes Four, and BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Miniman wrote the script, and the show is produced by Jake Brown.
Oh, Norm, this looks like a good pull-up.
Right-o, Anthony.
Two cups of char and a couple of corned beef sandwiches, dear.
Coming up. Ain't seen you two in here before.
No, love, it's a new route for us.
Bit of a dump, innit? No one in here.
You're right, Anthony. No jukebox neither. No mad birds.
You won't find no jukebox or mad birds in here. This is a respectable transport cab.
That's why there's no one in here.
Well, when you've been driving half the night, you want a bit of a giggle now and again. Here, that was the smashy you gave a lift to the other night.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I dropped her, I picked up another one.
Disgraceful, I call it, all these goings on. You lorry drivers are all the same.
That was an excerpt from The Loves of Carmen.